as the main text of our study today, so please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. We do appreciate you coming today and being with us, especially those of you who are visiting. We really delight in seeing you. Hope that you brought a copy of the Scripture with you and you'll now make use of it as we study together. When we receive an invitation to go somewhere or invited to some event, I think most people start asking some basic questions. We form an opinion about what we receive. What is the event to which we've been invited? Am I going to like it or not? Who's doing the inviting? Who else is going to be there? What are we going to be doing? What is the benefit of me going to this if I choose to accept the invitation? Questions like that form our thinking and flood our minds about that invitation. Jesus is also in the inviting business. No man is compelled to become a Christian, but rather the Lord invites us. And of all the words that Jesus spoke, there may not be three verses more well known than these in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle or meek in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden or my load is light." May not be a more comforting passage, more soothing passage than that one. When one decides to accept the Lord's invitation, he needs or she needs to give some serious thought. That is what it means to truly become a follower. We begin to realize what is going to be expected of us should we accept this invitation. And then more thoughts start to flood our minds. And they may even seem to us to be very daunting, overwhelming. And some may say, to the extent that I'm not sure I can do that, so I am going to not accept that invitation for right now. It just seems to me to be too high a mountain to climb. Some have expressed thoughts like that in the past when questioned by disciples. You know, you need to obey the gospel. You need to become a Christian. And they'll say, "Yes, I know, but I'm just not sure I can measure up. I'm not sure I can do that." So this simple, soothing passage speaks to us, but we also need to see some of its challenges, some of its complexity. It's not entirely simple. It is not without some deeper meanings that just, if we just read the words. It may not be what we think it is. There may be more to this than we actually realize. So three quick points this morning. First of all, we are invited to rest. Verse 28. It is spoken to those who are weary. "Come to me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, burdened down with all sorts of troubles." Literally, this means speaking to those who have exhausted themselves down to the last frazzle. They're wearing themselves out in one way or another in their daily living. Spoken to those who know and who realize just how truly exhausting life can be. And those of us who are old enough, we know sometimes life can be very wearisome. It can. It can be an awful burden, a chore. But the rest that Jesus promises, let's make sure we understand, it is not a superficial, on-the-surface rest that is free from all challenges. Jesus is not saying, now you come to me and I'll take away every heartache you've got. I'll remove every problem you have, all your challenges. I'll sweep all that away. The Lord is not inviting you to that. Remember His words from Matthew 10. That I did not come to bring peace but a sword. And a man's foes will be those of his own house. Someone in a house, one in a family, may choose to answer this invitation. They may choose to accept it. And everyone else in the house may choose not to. And there will be division right there in the quietness of that one single home. And there will be challenges. There may even be strong opposition from those who choose not to accept the invitation. So, if this is the rest that you're looking for, then this invitation is not for you. You won't find that kind of rest. Not the kind of rest that Jesus is promising. The rest He's promising is rest from a lifestyle that only produces anxiety and hopelessness, frustration at trying to find meaning and purpose from a world that is not as eternal as you are. That's the kind of rest Jesus is promising. Notice in verse 28 at the end, He says, I will give you rest. Also in verse 29, you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus seems to be quoting Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 at the last part of verse 29. And going back to the prophet's exhortation, stand by the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is. And you shall find rest for your souls. See, life has many paths. Life can take us so many directions. But the prophet encouraged his audience, you need to consider these. Stand by the ways and look and examine them. And understand that only in one way will you find where you need to go. And only down one path will you find rest. All other paths lead to frustration and to anxiety of heart, to hopelessness, and they are at last dead-end streets. You will not find what you're really needing except in the path where the old way is. And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. You come to me, and I'll help you realize, I'll help you come to grips with these puzzles and these riddles of life that at times even torment us. People are worn out. They have worn themselves to a frazzle. Again, the literal meaning. They have wearied themselves to the point of exhaustion in trying to find purpose of life in things of this. And you will not find it. You'll have no rest if you're chasing those kinds of pursuits. Holding your place here in Matthew 11, let's go back and look at some of the wise words of Solomon, the preacher, in Ecclesiastes. Just a few selected passages. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and verse 14. He said, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity. Striving after the wind. Verse 18, Solomon says, because in much wisdom there is much grief, and increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. Have you ever wondered why that's so? Why is an increase in wisdom bring about an increase in grief? Why is it that when you increase your knowledge, that it increases your pain? Why is that? Because we soon find out, the more that we know, the more we know we don't know. Does that make sense? The older we get, the more we realize there are so many things to this life that just make no sense to me. I don't understand how blessed it is to be young and naive in many cases. And Solomon's telling us that. And Jesus says, if you're trying to find your happiness and your peace and your tranquility amongst all this stuff down here, that's not what He's inviting you to. He's inviting you to rest from that. You can find happiness in Me and peace in Me away from all this. I'm trying to save you all that and spare you all that. Chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, verse 18. The futility, that was the futility of wisdom in the first references there in Ecclesiastes 1. Now we have the futility of labor. Chapter 2, verse 18. Thus I hated, Solomon said, all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. Why, Solomon? Those who try to find their happiness, they try to find their rest from the things that they do with their hands. Solomon says, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. I just work myself to the bone. For what? Some people say, look, I'm working myself this hard, 60, 70, 8-hour weeks, to make my children's life better. That's fine. But when you're dead, and then when they're dead, where's it going to go? Somebody else is going to get it. And that's not the answer. Chapter 4 and verse 8, to finish up, Solomon says, there was a certain man without a dependent. He had nobody. He had no family. Neither having a son nor a brother. Yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked, and for whom am I laboring and depriving myself of pleasure? You know anybody like that? Workaholics. Jesus is saying, all of you who have put yourselves in those kinds of situations, you're looking for rest. You'll not find it anywhere else except you come to Me. And I will give you rest. I'll remove the vexation from your lives. These are these other paths that Jeremiah told us about. See, we need to consider where these paths head and ask for the old path, where the good way is. So Jesus invites us to rest. Now, secondly, verse 29, Jesus invites us to wear a yoke and to bear a burden. This is some of that paradox that I mentioned or alluded to earlier. I'm not supposed to rest. Well, this is supposed to be an invitation to rest. Now I have to wear a yoke? Now I have to bear a burden? That doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand that. He just promised rest. Listen, brethren, the question never was whether or not we would wear a yoke. That's never been the question. That's never been in doubt. How do I know that? Romans chapter 6. Look with me at verse 16. Romans 6 and the 16th verse. And Paul writes, after asking the question in verse 15, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? God forbid, Paul says. Now verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death, or, he says, of obedience resulting in righteousness. You and I will wear a yoke. We will put ourselves under servitude to someone or to somebody. That's not been the question. The question is, whose yoke will we wear? That's the question. Jesus says, you come to Me and you wear My yoke. My yoke is not burdensome. My load is easy. My burden is light. All other yokes, all other burdens lead to trials and vexations and to disappointments and frustrations. So we must understand this. Accepting Christ's burdens. Now, if we agree, okay, I'm going to answer the invitation. I'm going to accept the burden of Christ. And let me say, some of you have not answered this invitation. And we appeal to you again to think about yourself. If we accept Christ's burden, it's not going to remove burdens. If we accept Christ's way, His yoke, it won't remove the burdens in our life. Quite the contrary, it will likely add to them. But not in the same way. I'm not trying to be puzzling up here. I'm trying to be realistic about it for us to see that. For example, all of us have old habits. All of us have some of those skeletons in the closet from our former way of living. And yes, if we've answered this invitation, we've obeyed the gospel based on teaching from Romans 6 again, we have buried the old man of sin. And we have been raised up to a new life. But sometimes that old man dies hard, doesn't he? Sometimes he tries to come back up. And sometimes we let him back up. We make provision for the sins of the flesh. And we shouldn't do that. And so, we accept this invitation. Do not be led into believe. Well, I'm glad all that's over. Now, I don't have to worry about sinning anymore and being tempted anymore. I'm just going to have peace and tranquility. If that's what you think, this invitation is not for you. Rather, what did Paul write to the Colossian Christians? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 5. Colossians 3, verse 5. Paul says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality or sexual immorality, to fornication, that's the word, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. See, he's talking to people who used to do these things. Paul says, you used to walk that way. But now, they've got to be considered as dead. Keep them put away. But now you also, he says, put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. We all have these wrestling matches with our old desires. And so coming to Christ just brings that more to the front. We battle these things every day. This is a very winnable battle, but it will not go away just because you answer this invitation. How about contending with enemies? And we all have them. But I've got to do so compassionately. That's an added burden, if you will, if I answer the call of Christ and accept His invitation. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody's going to mouth off to you. Someone's going to take something that may rightfully belong to you and then dare you to get it back. That's how people in the world live. What do we do about that? What are we taught? Romans 12, 17 and 21. Take no vengeance for yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. Do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good. Now, keep a straight face and say that that's not a challenge. You know it's a challenge. But that is the way of Christ. That is the way of Christ. Absolutely. So what I'm trying to say at this juncture is that life before coming to Christ is simple. And I mean that in this way. Unbelievers have no moral compulsion to do what is right. They don't care. Peter says that we were not redeemed from our aimless or our futile way of life, 1 Peter 1:18, with the blood of animals or with the silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. See, living outside of Christ is aimless. You've got no focus. There's no target out there. 2 Peter 2 and 12, he mentions again those brute beasts or those unreasoning animals who don't consider the moral aspect of a decision. Here's an appetite. That's just what I'll go do. I don't care. There's just no thinking about that. But when you come into Christ, Christ's religion is the thinking man's religion. It is the principled religion. You don't act just on passion, the spur of the moment, but what is right, what has been revealed to us in His Word. That's the religion of Christ. But that's this invitation. And as I said, unbelievers have no thought to right or wrong. But taking up this yoke, taking up His yoke, when you obey the gospel, you are agreeing to be completely submissive to His will. There's your principle. There's reason for living. There's why you do what you do from then on. Because the Lord said so. And I'm His servant. And so we are invited to wear a yoke and to be submissive. But finally, He says in this invitation, we are invited to learn. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In its totality and in its absoluteness, His invitation is instructive. We are to learn from Him who is gentle or meek and lowly or humble in heart. What do we think about those who say, "Let me tell you how humble I am"? We know already. Well, you're not humble. That's just not something that we normally, if we are humble, we're going to say about ourselves. That's a proud man. But what did Jesus say? He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." He's claiming to be meek. He is the essence of humility and humbleness. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says, "Though he was rich," speaking of Jesus, "though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you might become rich in him." He left the greatest dwelling place that exists by the side of his Father, the glories of heaven, and left all that, became poor. How did he show his humility? You read John 13, verses 4 to 16. "Girding himself as a common household slave with a towel and washing the feet of the disciples." That's true humility. Serving others and their needs. The gospel records show his character. They show his demeanor. He truly was a humble servant of God. So, only when we have learned His will from the humble, meek, and lowly servant will we truly find rest from all that troubles us. Only when we have learned His will, and it's a process, but when we have learned it, then we will come to understand just how easy this burden is. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. They're not an onerous chore. Well, if I have to do that, that's an attitude problem. That's a heart problem. We'll come to realize life is full of burdens, but the yoke of Christ, the burden of Christ, that's easy to carry because of the principles that are behind of it, that are at work within it. And all of this, I admit up front, all of this can be overwhelming. Can be. Even maybe intimidating to a new convert or to one who is contemplating becoming a disciple of Jesus. Can be. That's where we have to change our thinking. But experienced saints know the truth behind this. For example, Jesus inviting us to Him. Someone may say, you may have to go to all those meetings? All that assembly? Is that really necessary? I'm not sure I can do that. After all, my schedule's busy. I have other things at work in my life. What will the experienced disciple, what will the one who is truly converted to Christ when he or she answered this invitation, what will they say? The answer, or the question really isn't, do we have to go? But the answer really is, listen, you'll want to go. You will want to be here. Because of what you get out of the assembly. The singing and the praying together. The time spent in study. Some of them may say to me, well, because you enjoy all that preaching. You're the one doing all the talking. That's not it at all. It's the time we spend together. What we together as brethren and as a family, we have a vested interest in our eternal future and our heritage. And that is special to us. And to be together the few times, the few hours we are a week, that is not an imposition on our time. It's a great blessing to be here. And so, yes, all this assembly, Hebrews 10, we'll learn how to provoke each other to love and to good works. And we'll do that in one way is through our assembling together. And we'll not forsake it as the manner of some is, as some are already doing. But we'll want to be here. Another question some may have, what about all those prohibitions? You can't do this, you can't do that. Sounds like taking all the fun away. Just a bunch of rules and a bunch of thou shalt nots. Well, again, what will the experienced disciple, what will he or she realize? That which we are prohibited from will only wind up killing us. That's why the Lord said, don't do that. 1 Peter 2:11. I urge you, as sojourners and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we'll live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Titus 2:11-12. The Lord's not going to prohibit that which is for your good anymore. And a parent would let their child drink poison. God wants what's good for you. And His invitation invites us to that which is truly what we need. And so all this assembly and all this prohibition, how does the new disciple get from the point where he starts questioning, do I have to do all that, to over here he says, yes, I want to be here. I understand the importance of all that. That's all based on learning. And Jesus said, take my yoke and learn. It's a process where we are lifelong students. So, my friend, if you have a Bible, and if you can read, and if you can understand, you have been sent a great invitation. The words of Christ. In this life, you'll only find weariness. Exhaustion, total and complete frustration. You'll find no answers for all that puzzles you and troubles you. You only find the answers in Christ. And Jesus seeks to relieve you of all these burdens. In so doing, He asks you to wear His yoke. He won't come and force it on you. No, He says, this is My yoke, and I want you to take it. And I want you to wear it. I want you to learn from Me. I'm inviting you into something that is eternally great and spiritually uplifting. They are light and they are easy. Do not make light of this invitation. I want to close with two passages. I only have one of them on the slide. Turn to Matthew 22 and verse 5. And as the case would be, this is a parable of the marriage feast that speaks about the kingdom. And there are invitations involved in this feast. The son of the king is getting married, and the father had made preparations for his son's marriage. Invitations had been sent out for those to come. Verse 3, He sent out His slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. He sent out other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Behold, I have prepared My dinner. My oxen and My fattened livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the feast. But they paid no attention, or some versions say they made light of it, went on their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. See, they made light of this invitation. I got other things to do. Now, hold that thought there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 as we end. Hebrews, the second chapter. I want to point something out to you that helps me understand this passage back in Matthew 22 a little better. Let's start in verse 1, reminding us of how much we need to be astute students of the Old Covenant. Hebrews 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention. We must give the more earnest heed to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast or unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The word neglect in Hebrews 2 and verse 3 is the same word in Matthew 22 and verse 5 about making light of the invitation. See, the longer you sit there, my friend, and refuse to obey the gospel, you're neglecting this invitation that Jesus has sent you. What you're doing, really, is you're making light of it. And you cannot do so. You cannot continue to do so without facing the eternal consequences of that kind of decision. Now, I want you to think about that. Jesus wants you. Jesus has a place for you. And He stands inviting. And His words are music to the soul. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Do you need to answer the Lord's invitation this morning? He's inviting you to come. And it would thrill the angels of heaven and thrill us also if you would just bend your knee this morning and submit to Him and answer the invitation. If you have in the past done that, you have answered the call, but you have let the ways of the world come back into your life, then Jesus is inviting you to please come back. repent of sin, pray God forgive you, and He'll grant you pardon if you will be determined to live as you ought each and every day. Would you answer this call? Please come this morning as we stand and sing to invite you.